Hello and welcome to Mega City Book Club, the podcast all about collected editions from the galaxy's greatest comic, 2000 AD. I'm Eamon Clark, I'm at Lawgiver 4, and I'm here sat in the bar with Matt Davis. Matt, welcome to the book club.
Thanks for having me.
So, you were very kind because I didn't have anybody to record to with at this convention, and I put out a shout out on one of the Facebook groups and you volunteered, so here you are. And we're at Lawgiver and you're in costume.
Yes, I am.
So you're in a 2012 judge's outfit?
Yes, I'm in a 2012 Mega City 1 uniform.
Right, and you're Judge Davis, obviously.
Yes.
So the costume, is this something that you've done yourself?
Yes, it's a mix and match of stuff that I've purchased off the internet and put together, and also that I've put together from kits off the internet.
How long have you been cosplaying as a judge?
I've been cosplaying for about 6 to 7 months, I'd have to say.
All right. And have you had a good day here today at Lawgiver doing it?
Yes, I have. I've been looking forward to Lawgiver since I found out about it, because most of the time, the conventions I've been to before, it's always been, you're quite unique, but you also stand out like it's all fun, because most times you're surrounded by Spider-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, Rick and Morty. So, of course, people will identify you as Judge Dredd or a judge. But to be in a convention where you're surrounded by people who look exactly the same as you, it gives you a sense of unity, and also gives you a sense of you don't stick out.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yeah, I mean, there's been loads of judges in costume here today. Traditional.
Very good. Original characters, so you see, because we've seen judges from Britsit,
yes,
East Meg 2, we've seen judges who don't even have a place, such as Judge Kitty, and the Mega City Riot Squad.
Yeah.
We've seen Dirty Frank, Detective Judge Armitage.
Yeah, Max Normal, the pinstripe freak.
Yeah,
we can see
Max
him
Normal,
in the bar from here.
Came across earlier.
Cursed Earth Coburn, I saw a Fink, I think, Fink Angel.
The Angel Gang have been causing trouble, but they'll be serving a life sentence, hopefully.
Yep. There was a big photo taken earlier on. I know all the artists were called out of the signing rooms to go down for a photo. And I think, were you down there for that?
I think I managed to slip in at the last minute.
Jolly good, right, jolly good.
But if I haven't, a lot of people have taken photos today, myself included.
So just one more thing before we get to 2000 AD origin stories. It's been quite hot today, it's May. And particularly one of the signing rooms was very hot, I thought. So in uniform, presumably, has it been quite...
It's been on and off. I've often had to take my helmet off, go outside, get some air. Thankfully, the people at Double Trees have been very kind and provided plenty of water for us.
Yeah.
So those who have come dressed as judges haven't... haven't dissolved into piles of fat in leather uniforms.
Yeah, we've not had that, thank goodness. Okay, Matt, so tell us, you've been cosplaying as a judge 6 or 7 months. How long have you been reading 2000 AD?
I've been reading 2000 AD and specifically Dredd novels since I was about 12 years old.
Right.
The first program I started with was program 112, I believe.
So,
partway through the Sabbath day year with Sabbat, when the
Judgment Day.
Yeah, the Judgment Day. That's it.
Right.
So when the dead were rising.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, the Hondo Sith judge had just died.
Right.
So yeah. And I picked that prog up from a car boot sale that I went to at the age of 12 years old. And, well, I picked it up at the time because I didn't know what 2000 AD was. To me, it was just a comic book.
Sure.
I started reading and I just instantly fell in love with the characters of Dredd and everyone, because like, there was just something about this helmeted lawman that struck me as, because like he was a hard nut.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
But at the same time, he had a sort of interesting side, because of course the fact he's a clone, and yet sometimes he seems to act more human than human people.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. And do you still read Dredd as it's, you know, currently in the prime?
Oh yes. Yeah. I read Dredd in comic form, and also I've discovered in novel and audiobook form, especially the series done by Big Finish Productions.
Oh right, yes, the big yes, yeah.
Which are quite good. I've just finished listening to their to one of their pieces called Get Carter. Which is a very good one, which really threw me, because it took one of my favourite characters, Cadet Judge Amy Steele.
Yes.
Well, I say Cadet Judge at the time in Get Carter. She's now officially a judge.
Right.
And completely turns it out on her head, because we have the classical, like, muddled past. Like, she's hunting for the truth. She's not sure of what is true, what is not. And then, like, so we have the day old, oh, I think my stepfather killed my real father. Then later, bam, turns out, oh no, actually, I killed my father when I was 5 years old, and my stepfather's covered it up.
Right, big reveals, yes. We've had the Big Finish Audio Strontium Dogs on the podcast, but we haven't had anybody pick a Judge Dredd one yet, but they're great fun, aren't they? Yeah,
yeah, they are very great fun, because especially with all the voice acting, because of course, like, I often think it's like, when you take on the role of Judge Dredd, it's like, you've got a lot to work with and you've got a lot to live up to, because people often like think it's like, well, Dredd, he's got a gravelly voice.
Yeah.
He's the law. So it's like, you can either flip between Carl Urban or Sylvester Stallone. So instead, your law becomes a law.
Yeah, sure. Yes. Absolutely, yeah. And I think if I remember correctly, it's Toby Longworth is the name of the actor.
Yes,
who
it's
plays,
Toby Longworth.
Yeah, really plays Dredd for Big Finish. And he does a great job, actually.
Yeah, he does a very good... In fact, I think he's also the same chap who did the voice of Dredd for the Dredd versus Dead video game.
Right. Right.
I loved playing as a kid, because it's like, not only was it Judge Dredd, but you could be Judge Dredd.
Absolutely, yes.
Without sweating your butt off in a leather uniform.
We'll have to have the Dredd versus Death game on the podcast at some point. But okay, so I sort of called an audible and, you know, as I say, asked for somebody at short notice. And you very kindly volunteered to be on the podcast. Here you are in your leathers after a hot day. So what book or what particular story did you want to talk about for this episode of Mega City Book Club?
The story I want to talk about is Dredd of Drock Green. It's rather one of my favourites, because it's another one of my favourite law enforcement characters. Combining with Dredd, which is of course PC Dixon of Doc Green.
Yeah.
Who, for those who don't know who we're talking about, was a character from about the 60s to the 70s, who of course was a London policeman, who like really originally was just a small character in one big film,
yes,
but was adored by the public so much that he was brought back for a series himself. But so what I really like about Dredd of Drock Green is that it takes Dredd and yanks him out of his comfort zone, yanks him out of Mega City, which is all futuristic, all like grey, all concrete, all technological, and dumps him in 1959 Peckham, where it's like, so it's like, where there's no technology except for telephones and radios, and where it's like there were no personal radios. There was just a whistle.
Right.
A whistle and a truncheon, that was all you had to defend yourself as a Bobby on the beat. There was no lawgiver.
Yeah.
Yeah, another thing I like about Dread of Drop Green, as we can see here on the programme at the moment, is that, like, what I like about the programme with Flake Forward is how, because, of course, Dread has been taken out of his natural uniform and placed in a Metropolitan Police uniform, is how the artist has had to adapt to the loss of the helmet, which, of course, loses the iconic visor, which always hides his eyes. So he's now being drawn in various different angles that, as a result, causes the helmet to cast a shadow over his eyes, whereas...
Clever, yes.
It could... Whereas, well, in real life, it's like the helmet is very revealing, because, of course, that's kind of the point. It's supposed to reassure the public.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the same time, intimidate those who would break the law.
Okay. So, Dread of Drop Green, I'll just do Creator Corner. So, it was written by Alan Barnes, who was, I don't know if he was the magazine editor at the time, but he was one of the editors of the Judge Dredd magazine for a while. And, of course, he also writes and script edits for Big Finish.
Yes.
The artist is Trevor Hersine, letters by Gordon Robson, and it appeared in the Judge Dredd Mega Special 1996. Now, I'm sitting here opposite you, Matt, and I can tell you're too young to have seen Dixon of Dog Green.
Well, that's what YouTube's for, thankfully.
Right. Okay. Because, as you say, Dixon of Dot Green, get it right, was an absolutely huge TV show about this, you know, friendly London police officer.
Who
would begin and end every episode with his little lectures to camera about what was going to, you know.
Yeah.
So, and we're looking at it on my iPad. So, as I say, it was the Judge Dredd Mega Special 1996. But we've got it, or I've got it here, in the Restricted Files Volume 4. Now, have you come across the Restricted Files?
Yes, because I actually have this this exact file that we're reading from right now, amongst my many completed case files and restricted files.
Cool. So for anybody who doesn't know, I mean, obviously, there's the Judge Dredd case files, which people will be familiar with, which is Judge Dredd from Prog 2 onwards, chronological order. They bring out, I don't know, a couple every year, and it's marching onwards through Dredd's chronology. What are the restricted files for? What do they cover?
I think the restricted files are like... Well, I think they're like, you know, the best of.
And some odds and sods that get...
Or like the odds and sods that didn't make it into like the completed files.
Yes, the mega specials, summer specials, the stories from annuals.
Yeah, so the ones that don't really have any... like chronology or any continuity within Dredd's timeline.
Right.
So doesn't have major storylines cut into chapters such as like the Apocalypse War, Necropolis, the Second Robot War.
Right.
Like all that kind.
Yes, okay. So the case files, obviously, as you say, you've got chronology and you've got continuity. And in restricted files, you've got these weird stories, some of them which are obviously recognisably in Dredd's Mega City 1, and in some of them, like Dredd of Drop Green, which are just, you know, clearly a writer and an artist doing something slightly wacky and completely out of continuity, taking Dredd and putting him in a, you know, completely different setting and having some fun with it, really.
Yeah, just being creative for the sake of being creative, not having anything to actually go on. Like, this is what happened in the last programme, this is what needs to happen in this programme.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk a little bit more about Dredd of Drop Green in just a moment, but just, I mean, just before this, if I flick backwards, we've got a story where they do the Untouchables, The sort of like, you know, Brian De Palma film about Capone.
Yeah, the Chicago Untouchables.
Yeah, and that's called The Incorruptibles. So we put Dredd in Capone's Chicago.
Yes.
There's some bizarre stories earlier on where, is it Sindin City, where the artist, I think it's Adrian Salmon, let me just check that. Yeah, Adrian Salmon and Jim Vickers, they do this pastiche, black and white pastiche of Frank Miller's Sin City. I don't know if you're familiar with that comic.
I might be.
Yeah, and they sort of like they play on that and they riff on that. There's also, I don't know if I'll be able to find it. You know Dixon of Doc Green. Are you familiar with Mr. Ben?
Yes, I was about to mention Mr. Ben one. You need to flick back, actually.
Yeah, so I probably need to go there.
Yeah, that was another one that I did actually like, because like the fact it's like how it's like another crossover. It's like Mr. Ben, who's this like everyday man. He works in the bank, except like he's friends with this seemingly ordinary shopkeeper who runs a costume shop, but as soon as he puts on a costume and then steps through a door, suddenly, bam, he's in that world. Which, unfortunately for him, means he puts on,
a judge's uniform. Yeah.
And is then, unfortunately, executed for impersonating a judge and endangering a judge's life.
Yeah. And actually, it's the art for that one. It was written by Mark Miller, but the art was by Peter Doherty, who's here today at Thoughtgiver, at Lawgiver. And I should have spoken to him about it, did he recall doing Mr. Ben? Because the first couple of pages look like the cartoon show.
Yes, they look absolutely like the cartoon.
Okay, so Restricted Files Volume 4, it's a mixture of odds and sods. It's some strange stories in there. It's clearly artists and writers having a great deal of fun.
Yeah.
We'll flip back to Dredd of Drop Green if I can find it. Here we go. So it shows, as you say, you described it perfectly. You know, Dredd is a London police officer. The artist Trevor Hairsines has some fun with the helmet and the shadows. So of course we don't get to see, you know, that
Dredd's
all important.
Eyes, which is number one rule.
Exactly.
Which Sylvester Stallone broken. The 95 movie, never, ever, ever, ever show Dredd's face. It's his secret.
Yeah. Tell us, just briefly tell us, what's the story, what happens in the story?
I can easily tell you what happens in the beginning, because like what happens in the end ever so slightly
Spoilers.
Becomes confusing to me. It's like, so the beginning of the story is, we start almost as if we are in a Dixon of Doc Green episode. So we have George welcoming us to old London town, telling us about like life in London. He then tries to apprehend a couple of smash and grabbers, only for them to reject his old style copper policing by popping one into him, and in other words, shooting him. Then later on we have Dredd investigating the case of Dixon's murder. But then later on it becomes a bit higgledy-piggledy, because we get actually into the theme of like Masonic relations within the police, which during the 50s, 60s and into the 70s was a very big problem with the justice system, because it was basically like most policemen, seniors mainly, so your inspectors and up, were of course in the Masons.
Right. So when did you discover this story? When did you come across it?
I just picked up the Restricted File
I
was like on a regular shopping trip for my regular comic fix,
right.
as it is. I just came across the story and it stuck with me.
Fantastic. Okay. So one of the things that they've done in Restricted Files, obviously, is that they've had these stories which are quite clearly out of Dredd's normal continuity. They are what-if stories.
Yeah.
What if you went into Mr. Ben's costume shop and put on a judge's uniform? Or what if Dredd was a police copper in the 1950s in London? And then there's other, you know, what ifs, like, as you say, Al Capone's Chicago.
Yeah,
and
so like, what if Dredd was the Untouchables?
There's one in here I think about what if Dredd had died and not Rico, and so Rico's the judge.
Yeah, what, it's like that one as well. It's like, what if, like, Rico had shot first?
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, obviously the big American comic companies, Marvel have their what-if stories, DC have their Elseworlds stories, where they allow their sort of big marquee name characters to play in other worlds.
Yeah.
So Batman can,
like,
you know,
for instance, the famous issue, Spider-Man No More.
Yeah.
Whereas, because, of course, like, we have the iconic cover of Peter Parker walking away from a dustbin where his Spider-Man uniform has been dumped.
Yes.
In a bin.
Yeah.
The cover, which was later then parodied by Archie Comics for Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right.
In which most Sonic Archie fans refer to as the slap.
Right.
Because it being the episode where Sonic, at the time with his at the time girlfriend Princess Sally Acorn, break up their relationship because he still wants to be the hero, he still wants to care, and she selfishly wants him to stay with her.
Right. Henry Flint, again, who's here today at Lawgiver, he did a cover for one of the free Comic Book Day issues a couple of years ago for 2000 AD, and he parodied the Spider-Man No More cover by having Dredd No More, Dredd walking away from his uniform slung over a dustbin.
Which is a real pointer that I always like in Dredd. Again, I mentioned earlier that that despite being a clone, so nothing more than something grown in a lab, he seems more human than most other human beings.
Yes.
And often on numerous numbers of times, he's doubted the very fibre of his existence, because, of course, like, his catchphrase is, "I am the law." So, and of course, he often says to people all the time that the one thing in the judge's life is the law. It's like they eat it, they sleep it, they breathe it. It's like it's basically the one relationship they can have. They can't have any other relationship. They have to be devoted to the law 24/7. But often on times, we've had Dredd, like, doubting himself, doubting the very fibre of the law. And as a result, often sometimes going against his protocol and doing something for someone that really he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating time to be a Dredd reader at the moment, as he's, you know, he's an aging Dredd who's doubting himself, or at least questioning things.
Yeah, it's like questioning his morals.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we think way back to the early Dredds when people used to say things about him being like a robot, and you look at Dredd now and you think, no, he's actually, you know, although he's clone material, he's strangely becoming human, which is,
yeah, it's like,
weird.
As I say, he's becoming more human than, like, the actual judges himself, or themselves, like,
right.
Which actually is like a proper human people. They've been born, lived for about 5 years, and then been introduced to the academy,
yeah,
at the age of five, and then trained for 15 years. So they're coming out of the academy at the age of 15 and serving on the streets, whereas Dredd's been grown from birth to enforce the law.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I can guess the answer to this, because you've chosen Dredd of Drott Green as a favourite story. But does it bother you to have, you know, stories out of continuity? Does it bother you to see what-ifs for Dredd?
I suppose it's like, well, because they're what-ifs, it's not always a problematic thing, because it's like, it's one of those ones where you can throw continuity and stuff to the wind, because it's pretty much one of those like it was all a dream episode. So
yeah,
it's like you can kill off major characters, you can have relationships that were never meant to be,
yeah,
happen, and then of course they later wake up and it's like, oh, it was all a dream. So basically, it's basically like the Santa Claus thing. It's like,
right,
like wish you'd never been born. You find out like how crap life would be if,
oh,
like,
it's a wonderful life. Yes, yes.
And then it's like at the end you say it's like, oh yeah. So basically these episodes, so long as they're decently written, like they can seem great.
Yeah.
But they can stand on their own, but if they suck slightly, they don't damage the main reputation of Dredd's character.
Right. Okay, cool. I mean, I think, I just think it's interesting that they've done these strange stories and that they've collected them all in four volumes of restricted files. And let's be fair and say that some of the stories are a little bit variable in quality. There's some better than others in this collection. And there are some strange bits in there. But there are some wonderful delights like Dredd of Drott Green, obviously, and Mr. Bennett joins the judges, or whatever it's called. There's also, I think there's some Henry Flint artwork in there for the Boston Crab one. There's some Cliff Robinson artwork, which is lovely, which I'll mention again in a few moments. But yeah, there's a chap called Julius Howe, who I've had on the podcast a couple of times, and I know from listening to him talk about stories, because he was on another podcast and they were talking about continuity, and he was saying, well, are you bothered about continuity? If the story's good, if the art's good, are we bothered, you know?
That is quite an interesting question, because, well, continuity to a series as a whole is quite important. You can't have something happen and then just completely ignore it as if it never happened. So like, you can't break a character's leg and then like have in the next episode, oh, it suddenly miraculously healed. Because like the audience will be going like, well, hang on, it's like you broke his leg, and it's like if your time frame is what you're saying, there's no way his leg was able to heal in that length of time. It's also I often get like wound up with continuity sometimes in the form of what I tend to call plot device watches. How a character in like a show or a comic who never normally wears one like looks at a watch,
right,
and then it's like in the very next panel it'll be as if that watch had never existed.
It's like
I'm running late, and it was like, you've never worn that watch before, why in this one episode have you suddenly decided to wear a watch? The answer, plot device.
Right.
You need to tell us that you are running late. Henceforth, you have been put with that watch on, but you will never wear it again.
Okay. I mean, I just think it's interesting for Dredd, because as you say, continuity is important for Dredd, because 2008 does this weird thing where their characters age. And of course, Dredd has aged and changed, and we've got to learn much more about him. And I think it's, as I say, I think it's a fascinating time to be reading Dredd, because of what he's going through in the comics at the moment and the way it's challenging his beliefs. It's great stuff.
Yeah, and like the decisions that he has to make as a result. One decision that I always think that shows his human side is the decision that he makes after the first time that he saves his niece, Vienna.
Yeah.
I knew it began with a V.
Yeah.
But it's like, so Vienna. It's like he's encouraged by her nanny to spend more time with her. But he's like, he says it's like, as long as I spend time with her or even have a connection to her, like there's always a possibility that she's going to be in danger, that people will try to use her against me. In fact, it's like someone just did try to use her against me. I'm never going to let that happen to her, so it's better that I don't have connection with her. The less she knows of me, like the better. In fact, in the fan film Super Fiend, which of course tells the story of Judge Death, how he came from like a human person to being the all-killing supernatural fiend that we know. There's a touching scene between Vienna and Dredd where he says to her, is like, I'm not a father, I'm a judge.
Yeah, yeah.
But basically saying, it's like, I'm not what you want.
Right. I've always loved the way Dredd, because as you say, he's a clone judge, but yet actually in the comics he has a family, and whether it's the Fargos from Mutiland who come to visit the city, or Vienna, his niece, who he has to, as you say, protect by keeping a distance from. But the way he's reacted to her over the years, it's been fascinating. I just love all that stuff. It's great. Okay, so Matt, in the Restricted Files Volume 4, I'd ask you this question. I'm guessing the answer is going to be the one in front of us, but what's your favourite story from this volume?
Well, obviously you guessed correctly, so there's no need for a birdie in this interview.
Okay. Of course,
number one is Dredd of Drop Green. Number two is, of course, Mr. Ben, because of the results, and also the interesting cliffhanger that we get left on, because, of course, the real Judge...
The real judge, Bennett,
like,
yes.
Turns up in the shop and is handed by the shopkeeper a suit and bowler hat.
Mr. Ben's bowler hat.
Mr. Ben's clothing. So it's like, well, we know that Mr. Ben is now on his way to recycle, having been stripped of his uniform, which was never his in the first place. So, but interestingly, how did the uniform get into the shop in the first place? We will never know. But, like... what happens to the real Judge McKee? Does he follow on Mr. Ben's life?
Yeah.
Or does he get put away into a psychiatric hospital because he thinks he's a police officer from the future?
Right. Fascinating stuff. Okay, so there's two great stories. There are other good stories in here. I said there are some that are a bit hit and miss, but there are some good stuff in here. We have this game on the podcast called the Grail Page Game, where we pretend that all the original artwork from these stories is available and we can afford it, which obviously it isn't and we can't. But if you could pick just one page from this volume, which page would it be to actually have and to hold and hang on your wall?
I would ultimately have the page from the ending of Dredd of Drop Green,
the last
where
page.
He storms out of the Masonic Lodge.
Yep, absolutely. So it's a Trevor Hare signed page. It's black and white. It's 1996. He's gone on to be a bit of a superstar, Trevor Hare signed now, so we might not be able to afford it, but there you are. That page becomes virtually yours in the art gallery on the Mega City Book Club Facebook page, and I will post the image there. I get a go as well, and I've cheated. I've gone back to, if I can just find it now, because in this volume there is a Cliff Robinson story about the Mean Machine, which is, I think, just called the Mean Machine. Here we are. So here is my page, which I will post up again on the Facebook group. It's a story. It's Judge Dredd and the Mean Machine.
I think it's the one where Mean hijacks someone's breakout.
Exactly.
And escapes custody.
Yeah. And it's written by John Wagner, and it's art by Cliff Robinson. Dredd's crashing through a window and kicking Mean Machine in the chin. And then Mean Machine says he's going to go up to four on him as a result. And because we don't see a lot of Cliff Robinson now, apart from on the covers, I would pick that one, but that's the one I'm going to have. Okay, excellent stuff, Matt. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me.
That has been an interesting pick, Dredd of Drop Green in the Restricted Files Volume 4, which is available. You can buy it in hard copy for $19.99 from the 2000 East store, or you can do what I did and buy it digitally for $9.99. Or I guess you could search out the Mega Collection, the Mega Special from 1996, the Dredd Mega Special 1996. If I'd thought about it, Dale Jackson's here at Lawgiver. I could probably have found it in his boxes that he's been selling comics here today.
Yeah, although I can recommend also, like, just look in your local bookstore, like Waterstones, W.H. Smith, even like your local comic store, like Google your local comic stores and see what they've got.
Absolutely. Go to your local comic store and buy stuff. That's very important. So, Matt, guest projects time. And I know you do some acting and that you're also working on a short film. Tell us about that.
Yes, we are. It's a collaboration that I'm doing with a old school friend of mine, name of David Richards. He's a fan of Dragon Ball Z, and he came to me with an idea about a crossover between Dread versus... So the title being Dread versus Goku versus Rico. So being one of those classic two heroes meet up, have a bit of a fight because they get misinterpreted.
Of course, yeah.
And then end up, then realise, why are we both fighting? We're good guys. We should be fighting that bad guy over there. However, it's like, well, that was the original title. We've had to slightly change it due to the grounds of is like of my badge being fixed in place, and also a few script things that one could have said for starters. Like he wants to do a scene where it's like part of Dredd's visor is broken. I said, like, I'm not breaking the visor on my helmet because, of course, they are a beast to put in.
They are, yes. Yes,
fact,
expensive
I had
items.
Mine ordered with the visor in.
Right.
So I'm not going to mess around
with it. I'm looking at it now across the table from us.
Yeah, yep. It's sitting on the table looking at us from far away.
Cool.
Really is quite imposing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. They are quite threatening things when you've got the helmet on.
Every time they see it. But so it's going to be coming out on my YouTube channel, Flash Studios Guy, sometime in the autumn, because we're going to be doing it over the summer with all hopes.
Right.
So it's going to be. It'll probably be slightly cheesy, so the effects aren't going to be Warner Brothers style or anything.
Right, sure.
But it's like, I think what with all the decent fan films such as Judgmenty, who has been here today, and also what with the other like Dread fan film on YouTube, the Body Shop, which was made in 1992, even before. Well, of course, like 3 years before Sylvester Stallone's film came out, which was made by a bunch of people who had next to no budget at all. In fact, the guy's helmet being a paper mache looking thing. Although it's like it's very good homemade costumes, like even back then without the resources that we have today. So, yeah, so I reckon it's going to be a fair decent film, thanks to my expertise of having studied film at college and university.
Oh, right. Fascinating.
So
that'll be on your YouTube channel?
Yeah, my YouTube channel.
Okay, I confess I know nothing about Dragon Ball Z, but obviously I know a bit about Dread. So what? Just tell us again, the name of your YouTube channel is?
Flash Studios Guy.
Flash Studios Guy, all one word, right.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I will link to that in the show notes, and we'll look out for that film hopefully later in the year.
Yeah, hopefully later in the year.
But as I say, I'll put that link in the show notes with the podcast. Great. Well, Matt, it's been fantastic. We've had a good day here at Lawgiver. You've been in uniform. I've been getting stuff signed. It's time probably to go and join the evening drinking session, although I might have to have something to eat first.
Yeah, well, it's like you'll be joining the evening session. I sadly must continue to patrol the streets. Crime never rests, so I shouldn't either.
Okay. Well, I can present you with you, because all my guests get a Mega City Book Club coaster, so that
Thank
becomes
you very
yours.
Much.
And there's the details of the podcast, so you'll be able to find us when we come out.
Yeah, I will certainly listen to that.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. And thank you to everybody for listening to Mega City Book Club. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the usual places. We're on Facebook and Twitter. And we're also on email, mcbcpodcast@gmail.com. And remember, we're still looking for your submissions for the top 10 Judge Dredd stories and the top 10 non-Dredd thrills from 41 years 2000 AD, send those to mcbcpodcast@gmail.com. And that'll do us. So from here at Lawgiver in Bristol in May, until next time on Mega City Book Club, when we're passing judgment on another fine 2000 AD book, it's a goodbye from me and...
goodbye from me.
Bye.